week 3 of this love series. That's what we're talking about today. Today, last week, we talked to the men about the women and got real sentimental. Men, how do we treat our wives? Today, I want to talk to the women about the men. Men are very complex creatures, aren't we? That was a joke. Yeah, that was a joke. I mean, men are pretty simple. Give us a channel changer. Even if we're watching what you want to watch, give us the channel changer, right? And if you're like me, even when there's a movie in the VCR, DVD, what do you call it, DVD, Blu-ray? We don't have a VCR anymore. We fixed that. When there's a movie playing, I'll still try to change channels, even though it doesn't do any good, right? I just like, we got to have control. That channel changer, men like things that smell weird. We like to share them, right? The guys are classic for going, ugh, this stinks. Come smell it. And other men will go, okay. I mean, like, passing gas is still funny. I don't care how old you get. As a guy, passing gas is still funny. And I used to think eventually I'd outgrow that. But Shannon and I had just been married a short amount of time, and we were at a fabric store. And the beginning of that story tells you that we had just been married a short amount of time. And we're walking through this fabric store, and this random old couple was in front. He slows down. No kidding. I promise you. True story. He turns, and he looks at me, and he smiles. And I said, hey, and then I realized why he had stopped and why he had smiled and gone to the other aisle. And then I quickly went, true story. I mean, he had to be in his 80s. And I thought eventually we men grew out of this. You know what? I don't think we do. Like, it's always funny, especially when somebody lights it on fire. Can I get an amen, men? Yeah, right? I mean, like, we men, we're not very hard to understand, but we are, like, really confident, like overly confident, like way too physically confident. That's why men wear Speedos, you know? That's why men wear muscle shirts who have no muscles. That's why guys with hairy back wear tank tops and they walk around like they are doing the world a favor, you know? Like, men are overly confident. They really do think they got it going on when they have nothing going on. Men can sit in a room, put 20 guys in one room for an hour, not one word will be spoken. And they'll go home, and the wife will say, how was it? How was the whole time? Did you have a... Oh, it was great. Best time we've had in a long time. Men don't have to say a word to communicate. We don't talk. Like, you women, we talked last week. You women talk a lot. Men, we just don't even say a word. I love taking my son places, and it'll be however long of a drive, and then we'll get there, and then we'll get in the car and head back, and we don't say... My son and I don't even say a word to each other because... We men don't have to talk to communicate. We know what we're thinking, right? You know what I mean, and I don't have to say it over and over and over and over and over like you women do, right? Men are just different. We just don't talk. Men compete in everything, and I mean everything is a competition. The buggies at Walmart, competition. Lowest gas prices, competition. We one-up everybody, including our wives sometimes. Every conversation ends with this or gets started with this. Oh, that's a great story, but let me tell you about the time that we one-up everybody because everything's a competition. And, you know, here's the thing with men. We're better at remembering the stats and the birth dates and the teammates and the shoe size of our favorite pro player, aren't we, than we're actually remembering the anniversary that we got married. Men, we can remember what we want to remember, and usually it's not our anniversary. We love to see other people fail, don't we, man? I mean, that's why we watch boxing, and that's why we watch MMA, and that's why you guys watch NASCAR. I can't do NASCAR unless I need a nap. I can't. If they'd add one right turn in there, just surprise them every once in a while, I might watch it. I don't do NASCAR. I don't hate it. I can't watch it. But that's why guys watch NASCAR. That's why we watch hockey, isn't it? Not for the game, it's not for the race, for the wrecks. It's for the fight. We love to see people fail. I mean, we never once has a man, never once has a man go, man, I sure hope they tie. Somebody's got to win and somebody's got to lose and somebody needs to lose miserably. It's why we don't like to watch your sappy movies, endings where everything comes together. We don't like that because we like things that don't end well. We like to see things fail, and you've got this thing in society from me and the generation above me and now even the generation that we're raising and my son's age who's 10, and we're raised to be tough. We're raised to be emotionless. We're raised to be competitive. We're raised to be slightly violent at times. We're raised to be hardworking and don't talk too much and don't feel too much. And so while little girls are out playing Barbies and playing mommy and playing school teacher and playing beauty shop and all those sweet things, men are out playing army, right? And cowboys and knights and pirates and fireman and policeman. And we're given toys, real fun things like swords and guns and sticks that become swords and guns. And we have these violent things, lassos and action figures that shoot things. And you know, that's what we're supposed to do. It's what boys are supposed to do. I remember growing up, we would always play Dukes of Hazzard, right? I get one more amen out of that. We like the Dukes of Hazzard. And we would always fight over who was Bo, who was Luke, who... There was one little kid, and it wasn't for long, but he always wanted to be Daisy Duke. Listen to me. We didn't allow him to play with us. We didn't, because that's not what was supposed to happen. I mean, while girls are playing with Barbies, boys are stealing Barbies to pull heads off of them and set them on fire and put firecrackers in them, right? This is what boys do. Some of you are looking now at your spouse or your children, because this is what boys do. We're violent. And here's the other thing about men is that we lie a lot because we hate to be wrong. And we lie to get what we want. You need to hear that this morning. Men lie to get what they want. They'll lie to get a first date. They'll lie to cover up their failures. They will lie to explain why it is they didn't win. And this has been in the Bible. I mean, way back in when Adam and Eve were created in Genesis, I think you can find it in chapter 3, verse 12. Remember what happened? God created Adam. He created Eve. He said, don't eat from this one tree. What'd they do? They ate from the tree. They went and they hid. They realized they were naked. They covered themselves up. They went and hid. God finds them as if they were ever really missing. But God finds them. And he says, hey, what happened, Adam? Why are you hiding? Why are you hiding from me? And what did he say to him? He says, I got it here for you. You won't see it. It says, the man replied, it was the woman that you gave me the fruit and I ate it. Who did Adam blame? Eve. And even more so, he blamed God for giving him Eve. Back in the Garden of Eden, and later we see their two sons, Cain and Abel, and Cain kills Abel out of jealousy because Abel's sacrifice is acceptable, Cain's is not. So out of jealousy because he lost the competition, he gets violent. See, it's in there. It's been there since the Garden of Eden. And God goes and finds Cain, and he says, hey, where's your brother Abel? He knows, but he says to him, hey, where's your brother Abel? And what does Cain do? He lies. He lies to get what he wants. He covers it up and he says, whoa, why are you asking me, God? I mean, Abel could be anywhere. What am I, my brother's keeper? He lies. He loses the competition. He gets violent and he makes up an excuse. Men lie to get what they want. They lie to get dates. They lie to cover up their failures. They don't ever want to admit that they're wrong. Men lie. But so do women. See, there's a difference, though, because women lie to themselves to get what they want. A man will lie to go get what he wants. A woman will lie to herself. She'll say things like, one day he'll be different. Or he's really not as bad as my mother thinks he is. Some of you wish you'd have listened now, don't you? Right? He's really not as bad. As they say, I never forget, and I love my mother-in-law, and I think she likes me now, but I'll never forget sitting across the living room from her, and I deserved it. And now after you've heard me saying you, like, why she felt this way, but I remember she was sitting there, and I'm in the room, and she said, you know what? I like Josh, talking to my wife, Shannon, my fiance at the time. We were already engaged, planning a wedding. She said, I really like Josh. I just don't think he's the kind of guy you should marry. And I was sitting in the room, and I wonder, 14 years later, does she regret not listening to her mother? I don't know. She hides it well, if so, because women will lie to themselves in order to get exactly what they want, because we're trained at an early age to be competitive, to be rude, to be cocky, to be aggressive in sports, to be mean to our buddies and mean to our people, to be violent when necessary, to avoid our feelings, don't talk about anything, and then you women come along, and you know what you think you're going to do after marriage? You're going to change. All of you said it, just not loud. You're going to change us. That's what you think, is that you're going to take us and you're going to change us. But honey, remember, I'm still a guy. There's still that man that you married, the man you want to marry, he's still a guy. Society, since a boy, has trained him to be the opposite of what you're expecting of him. So what do? We have to look at Scripture. We have to understand that you're different. Let me say this before we go further, though. Men, this is not an excuse to erase everything we talked about last week. refer back to last week in a podcast if it ever got up. If not, we'll re-record it because it was well worth the listen. That your wife needs from you time and touch and talk and thoughts. And your wife, and you need to understand that your relationship with your wife is a reflection of your relationship with God. That your relationship with your spouse is directly connected to your relationship with God. It's a spiritual thing, not just a marital, emotional thing, a love thing. It's a spiritual thing, your relationship with your wife. And it's directly connected to God. And this challenge, though, ladies, goes both ways. So men need to understand how you treat your wife is a reflection of how you love and treat God, and how you love and treat God will be reflected in how you treat your wife. But ladies, the same goes for you. This same challenge applies for you. Men are called to live a life and to lead a life that is worth following. And then in that process, they then lead their spouse and they lead their children closer to Christ. Remember your challenge last week? Your wife should be more like Christ because of your relationship. You should be leading her deeper into a relationship with God. And ladies, though, here's what you're called to do. Support your man in the places that he's weak while he's trying to lead you spiritually. That's what the Bible says. Your husband has weaknesses. He hates to admit it. None of us, we'll all lie about him, right? I could have if I wanted to. No, you couldn't. There's certain things that we men really aren't good at. We really will never be good at. And that's why God said, woman. That's what God created you to complete. And so you've been called, ladies, to help and to support the man when the places that he's weak. This is what Ephesians 5, verse 23 through 25 says. Again, I'm going to keep talking to the husbands on the wife week because we need it more. That's why I started last week with the husbands. I talked to the men last week about the women. This week I'm actually talking to the women, but in the process I will continue to talk to the men. Because we're thick-headed and we think we got it all figured out. We've been raised to be cocky, arrogant, and not admit that we're wrong. Today, I want to continue to remind you, me, us men, that where we need to be. And so look at verse 23 of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. It says, the husband provides leadership to his wife the way Christ does to his church. Listen, this is out of the Message translation. It says, not by domineering, but by cherishing. So just as the church submits to Christ, as he exercises such leadership, wives should likewise submit to their husbands. Verse 25, husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church, a love marked by giving, not getting. The husbands and wives are called to be partners. There's this puzzle that God put together when he created woman. And they're called to be partners, and it's this perfect partnership in marriage that he put together. Each one of you has an important role to play. The husbands have a role to play. The wives have a role to play. If the love is going to be developed and last forever, if we're ever going to reach that agape love that we talked about on week one, that unconditional, unselfish love, that agape love that we're called to experience and to give, then we've got to work together. Remember 1 Peter last week said the men take care of your wives because she's the weaker partner, and we explained very quickly before the women's lib movement happened in our church that weaker does not mean unequal. Weaker does not mean unequal. Weaker means different. Weaker means more sensitive, more emotional, more connected to how people feel and what people want and who people are. We men, we miss all that. But you women, you kind of get that. Most women kind of really get that, and they play that role. And so weaker does not mean unequal. What it means is this. Women possess qualities that men don't even understand. Some men don't even know that the qualities you can help them with even exist in life. They don't have a clue. And that's why you've been called into your husband's life. It's why God's put you together. Wives, you've been called to supply the emotional and the empathetic and the understanding and the sympathy to your husband. Help him understand that. To help him, as he leads your family closer to God, you help him understand and help him feel and help him see beyond himself and beyond the selfishness. Because we men, we're selfish. And I don't know how many times I can say that, but we're selfish and we're taught that's okay. And you women come into our life and you kind of wreck everything. I mean, the question is this. Are you women supposed to unteach all the things we've learned since we were boys? Because that's kind of where this is going, isn't it? I mean, you women are going, well, you just told me I couldn't change them, and now you're telling me I need to change them. And how can I possibly unteach all the things that he's learned since he was a boy? And is that the question? Is that really what Scripture says? I would answer it this way. In a way, yes. But you're not trying to make them different. What you're trying to do is help them. You're completing that part. You're completing that section of the man that you married or will one day marry, hopefully. God has him in your path, and one day you're going to meet him. I've already heard from several over the past 3 weeks that this series is not for me. It's not just one person, it's multiple. I appreciate you talking about marriage. One day there's a man, one day there's a woman. Well, for some of you guys, you know, monkhood is looking good, but I'm just like, for most of you, God really has created somebody out there. And so women, last week, I tried to set a high standard. When you go looking for a husband, there's what you should be looking for. Men, when you go out looking, this is how you should be ready and prepared to treat. And so over these 2 weeks, I want you to set a high standard of women, how to treat a man. Men, how to treat a woman. Woman, what to expect from your man if you're single. And those women have been called to complete us. You've been called in a way to unteach all the things that society's instilled in us. And men need to learn how to love. Men need to learn how to share their emotions. Men do need to learn how to be more caring. And how do we learn that? We learn that by watching our wives. I'm speaking from personal experience. We celebrate 14 years of marriage next month. I know we're just getting started. Like, we're new to this thing. We're farther along than some of you, and not so nearly far along as some of you. I feel like we're just getting started, and we still don't have a clue 14 years later. I mean, we've been dating since 1995, and I still wonder, do I know my wife? I still wonder, what if she ever found this out about me? Wouldn't I be in trouble? Like, there's still things. We're still working along this process, but over the last 14 years, well, 13 and three quarters years that we've been married, I'm learning how to care. I'm learning how to love. I'm learning that people have feelings and that should matter to me. This is new to me. Some of you men are like, yeah, it's normal to her. It's not so normal to me. And these are the things you're teaching. Here's what I'm learning from my wife, that I need to learn that it's not always about winning. I mean, in life, not just games, but in life, it's not always about winning. Sometimes it's about how the loser feels. I hate to even say it out loud, but it's true. And sometimes, winning or losing be done, sometimes it's really more about the people who are watching the game and earning their respect and having a good reputation for those who are watching, in particular like your children who are watching. See, it's not always about winning. Sometimes it's about how the loser feels, and sometimes it's about, and this is life in general, sometimes it's about gaining and earning and keeping the respect of the spectators who are watching, those who are watching. And also, what we need to learn and what I'm learning is that we need to learn how to lead, and in order to lead, we have to understand and deal with and comprehend the feelings and the needs of those who are trying to follow us. And you women are great at teaching that. This is your support system to help me and help your husband understand the needs and the feelings and the emotions of those that you're trying to help him lead your family spiritually by helping him understand the needs and the emotions and the wishes of the people that are trying to follow him. See, there's things that most women are great at that men are terrible at. Men will never get it. You can't fix it. You can't change it. God broke him when he built him. He's never going to have those things. You're never going to be able to look at your husband and go, he is so sweet. He always remembers this, always does this. You might as well, like, marry your girlfriend if that's what you wanted, right? Like, your girlfriend from college, all your buddies who you go and hang out with on the weekends, they talk about how terrible and insensitive your husband is. That's who you married. He's still a guy. You can try to change him and fix him. He's And here's what you women need to do. Do not get disappointed when your husband suffers lapses. And you think to yourself, he really is getting this. And then all of a sudden he reverts back to being a 10-year-old boy. And he pouts in the corner and I know you are, but what am I? Because we men are terrible at that. I mean, we're great at trying, but we're terrible at relapsing. Women, don't be disappointed when your husband relapses. Or if you married a slow learner, it happens. Don't be disappointed. What you need to do is celebrate with him all of his small victories. Focus with him and encourage him and celebrate with him his small victories. And through that process, remind him. Don't slap him on the wrist. Don't scold him like a small child. Remind him that there are emotions and feelings and cares of other people that are connected to every decision. Because we forget, and that's why God gave you to us. It seems so frustrating, but when you look at the big picture, you realize God had a pretty good plan. And of the 365 days, too often we focus on the five that were bad, don't we? This is just not going to work out. We don't get along ever. Yes, you do. You get along a lot. But the human nature is to focus on where we failed. Let's not focus on where we fail. Women, encourage your husbands that you did that right. I'm so proud of you. But let me remind you, you also made her cry, and she's your daughter. Go say you're sorry. Oh, she's crying. Because boys, we're taught things like, you better stop crying, I'll give you a reason to cry. Men, have you ever been told that? Do you still get told that? My wife now says that to me. I'm like, well, no, that's backwards. Stop crying, I'll give you a reason to cry. I say it all the time, and it just slips out because it's what I was taught, so it's what I'm supposed to teach a boy. And so I am falling into this trap of society, of teaching my boy how to be competitive and rude and athletic and mean and sarcastic to his buddies. I say things to my son I never say to my daughter, ever, because this is what we do. And then you women come along because we need you. And so don't get frustrated when they relapse. Don't get frustrated when they fail. Encourage them. Remind them. Remember that passion in your relationship, love in your relationship, they're just representations of the passion and the love that you have for Christ. I mean, God designed marriage, as weird as it feels, God designed marriage so that he could use two different people that were completely different and what they want, what they need, what they feel, what they understand. He designed it so that we could perfectly complete the puzzle. And so a few things as we finish up. Well, somebody switch it. This is going to be in the pocket. Somebody switch it to cool. I'm about to, like, lose 10 pounds up here. I'm dying. And 10 pounds wouldn't be bad, but I just don't want to lose it in front of y'all and be like a little puddle of sweat up here. Be awkward. Just quick things as we do. Last week I gave you men time, touch, talk, and thought. Unfortunately, these are not as creative and thought out because we men are not that complicated. Let me throw some things out, ladies, if you're wondering how then can I love my man. Let me throw some things out, some things that my wife and I have tossed around and learned and are learning, and she helped with the list. And so you men, last week as you sat uncomfortably as I gave you the list and hatefully that now you have to go home and your wife's going to hold you in check, write these down. She's going to try to forget them. You write them down, all right? First one is this. Wives, communicate to us, but hear this. Communicate slowly and clearly to us. There's a book out called, I think it's Men Are Like Waffles, Women Are Like Spaghetti. Anybody heard this? And I read it because I was told I had to, and I read it. And all I remember is that women are like spaghetti and men are like waffles. And that means this: men compartmentalize everything. Women are more like a plate of spaghetti that every thought, every emotion, every action, everything from the past, everything they're thinking about from the future, it just mixes all together like a whole bunch of noodles. It just gets sloppy and crazy. And so when I say to you, women communicate with us, women communicate. I say to her, say it again. What does that have to do with anything about did you check the mail? Did you get the mail? That's all I'm looking for. Did you get the mail? Well, she said that I don't look good in blue, and then we was out there. Remember, I got to get gas, and then I'll go, never mind. Keep talking to your daughter. Y'all understand each other. I'm going to go check the mail. I don't get it. Communicate with us, but communicate slowly, and communicate clearly, because we compartmentalize. You just mess everything up. And we don't understand. I mean, have you ever tried to listen to two women talk? Listen to a woman call her sister or her mom or her best friend. And you sit back and go, what? Huh? None of that made sense, but it did to them. Because y'all can just go with it. We got to separate. And so when you talk to us, say it in a way that I can, give me time to open the drawer and put it in the drawer and file it away and then close it and then give me the next noodle. Right? I need one noodle at a time, according to that book. All right? It was a good book. I wish I remembered more about it. Don't talk about everything at one time. Communicate with us. Tell us how you feel. Help us understand feelings, but say it slowly. I mean, we really are that slow. Next one is this, and this is the obvious one, but here you go. And, you know, this is, I told you last week was PG-ish. We might go PG-13-ish because I'm looking around and I'm making sure the crowd's appropriate. But, like, physical expressions of love, it seems so obvious. But I want you to hear something, ladies. I know that when you have kids, your body changes. This is the obvious thing. You see that in the mirror. You know what your husband still sees? Guys, if back me on this in case I'm wrong. You say, my pants that I had when we got married don't fit anymore. And we men are going, but you sure look good in them pants, baby. Okay, huh? I got one, right? Like, well, hear me. You women are going, I can't even wear all my old clothes. I'm just going to give them away. And I won't be attractive until I start my Zumba classes. Y'all have these conversations? I thought it was just me. I thought I was going to say it, and y'all were going to be like, huh? What are you talking about? Like, you think your body's changed. I just told you men are overly confident. We gain weight, and we're like, sweet, well, I feel this tank top out good now. You know? Honey, that's too tight. No such thing as too tight. Little belly button sexy, you know, right? But hear me. We're going to run over. Second service is already waiting to come in. That's all right. They're going to run over. Listen, women, we think you're attractive. Men need sex. I mean, that's just how it was built. That's the first thing Adam said in Hebrew was Eve was naked, and he went, hubba, hubba. I mean, he went, yeah, I can do something with that. I like that. I really like that. God designed it so that men would like sex so that we could procreate. He designed women to not like it so much so the world wouldn't be overpopulated. That's my personal opinion. It's not biblical, but it's my personal opinion. I've got scripture. I don't have time to read it. You just have to trust me. And here's the other thing. In the script, Paul actually tells to the church of Corinth, he says to them, he says, you can abstain and that's fine, but at some point you've got to come back together. And you know why? He says, so that your husband won't be tempted. What he's saying is men, they think about it. They need it. They love you. They're not just crazy and that's all they think about and all they want to do. They love you, and in their mind, that's how they show you. Men need physical expressions of love. Men, you can thank me later. The third one is this. We got to go. Women, help them. You got to help them. That's what it said in Genesis 2:18. It says, I will make a helper who is what? Just right for him. It's not good for man to be alone. I'll make a helper who's just right for him. And that's what he did. He created Eve to help and show them the emotion that they're missing. Show them the care that they're missing. Show them the things that they're not seeing. Help them. Here's some help for you, ladies. Make it seem like it's their idea, and then they'll do it. You're welcome. And then the last one is this. Encourage them. There are things that men do that you think are so simple and basic, and the men are like, did you see that? Change that light bulb. See that? I folded the clothes. You know what men are? You know what we are? Men are little boys in bigger bodies. Think about a little boy. We do push-ups at our house, right? Because my son's doing all his winter training for baseball. We do push-ups, and the first thing he does, I've never taught him this. Maybe he learned by example, but I've never told him to do this. He goes to the mirror, and he flexes. And he'll come over and go, Dad, feel that. Hey, feel that, Dad. Feel, is that bigger? Feel that. You know what happens as men? I give credit to my father-in-law for this statement, and I've used it for many years. And my wife will look at me and go, let me feel your muscles, baby, because she knows we need it. Men are constantly walking around in an emotional sense going, hey, feel my muscles. Come here. I changed the light bulb. Feel my muscles. Hey, come here. Feel my muscles. You see that? I folded the clothes. Wash the dishes. You washed my dry. Feel my muscles. And you women are going, gosh, get over yourself. And we men are going, no, seriously, come, feel my muscles. Encourage me. Love me. You're my helper. Encourage me. And so women, encourage him. Feel his muscles. And lastly, and I think most importantly, is women, pray for and pray with your husband. Men always slip back into the I can do it myself mentality. We always do. We're boys in big bodies, and we always fall back into I can do it myself mentality. Women are great at asking for help. You know what that means? You're also better at remembering to pray than we. True story. We men know we're supposed to pray, but when we get in the middle of it, we go do it ourselves. You women are great at asking for help, and you remember. And so hold your husband accountable to this. Honey, did you pray about it? Honey, have you prayed about it? Honey, do you trust because you prayed about it that this is the direction God would want us to go? And that's what you're there for. To remember to ask for help, to remember to pray, and to remind your husband to pray. So pray with him, and pray for him, and pray about him, right? Because that's what you're there for. Man, this is too much. I wish we could go forever. You don't glad we're done? Your husband needs you. Hear that, if nothing else. Your husband needs you. And your husband needs you more than he'll ever admit. I'll say it for him. He needs you, and he needs you more than he's ever going to admit. And so husbands, allow your wives to teach you. Allow your wives to support you. Allow your wives to help you because you need them. Wives, though, love your husbands, and here's how. Complete them. Support them. Be the neck for the head, right? We talked about that last week. You men are called to be the head. You women are called to be the neck. And without the neck, the head can't move. Support them and love them and complete that team in marriage. God wants marriages to last. And as weird as it is that we're so different, he put us together. He knew what he was doing. His plan is incredible. And he's called us to work together, not try to kill each other because we're different. Let me pray for us.